around, finding rivers, drinking from water, because these women who were taken to the bunker, they do remember life before being at the bunker, because they were all just randomly taken and put in this bunker. They must have also drugged them as well, they said, and some of their memories gone about how what has happened, but they still have their knowledge with them, so they know how to make a fire, and things like that to keep them alive. So they start traveling, and it gets pretty dystopian at this point. And more major spoilers, but they're now finding other bunkers exactly like them, with groups of, you know, the same cages with dead women. You know, their entire group of women died in the cages, or men, entire groups of men that died in the cages because they couldn't escape. And of course, all the guards are gone, so no one could feed them, and they just left there.
And it's the exact same number as well of women and men, and the only kind of variation is either the gender of the people who were found dead by, you know, the original group of women, or, you know, there's some, like, maybe this bunker has coffee, or maybe this bunker has bread. Like, pretty much that is the only variation, because as they're traveling along, they're also taking food from each bunker a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the most of the plot of the story, is, you know, getting out this bunker, finding that, oh, you know, there's other bunkers and nothing's here on this entire land. And I can get even to more spoilers that everyone
just do it, yeah.
Everyone just starts slowly dying of some sort of disease or unrelated. They all seem like unrelated symptoms, which is so freaky to me. And I have so many questions about that. They just all start dying one by one, and suddenly only the protagonist is left, and she also dies. But nothing gets answered at all.
No.
That is pretty much the book in a nutshell. But let's get more into, like, more of the specifics of this book, I feel like.
Yeah, like, what actually made this book stand out? Because if we just give you a description of the plot, it sounds pretty bleak. Pretty dismal. Like, why would anyone want to read this, like, nihilist, depressing book? But it does go into a lot more. Like, I almost feel like the plot is less important than the narrator's inner dialogue. And there's, like, a real emphasis on even, like, the mechanisms of thinking and of focusing on, like, a story or motivating yourself to do something, and this, like, inner dialogue kind of tethers us to her reality and, like, the perception of it, and propels her to achieve and keep looking. Like, she doesn't really almost ever give up the whole story, and, like, as you're reading that, at least for me, I didn't want to give up either. Like, she keeps trying and keeps exploring, like, keeps trying to learn more. So
Yeah. Keeps finding that new hill or something that looks slightly different, and we're like, oh, you know, maybe we'll find something new along with her. I thought that was great. That was amazing writing. And the fact that it's also written as the protagonist's words in the future as well. So this is the protagonist who is documenting her entire experience of even getting to the point of the end of the book, as if we were to pick it up the next time. I think that's how I interpreted it, because I know there's other interpretations, but I thought that was incredible, honestly.
And she would say things, like, throughout the book, like, she'd bring up a new question about why they're there, and then would also say, well, I never did figure that out, or something, because she is sharing it through the past tense. And even though, you know, like, they don't really figure it out, or she doesn't discover the reason why they were there in the bunker or anything, like, even though you know that logically, there is still the emotion of hope, pretty much, at least for me, throughout the entire book. Which is kind of cool that she was able to achieve that effect, even though you know it's not going to end the way that you hope it to end, even though you're still actively hoping, I guess. It's like a paradox.
Yeah, it's like the hope continues, but It's very unsatisfying, honestly, now talking about it, because mm-hmm. you just feel unsatisfied that there were no answers. But that's the point of this, is that there are no answers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, telling about life in general, what the author's trying to say. I thought as well, with that inner dialogue and telling these words in the future, I think I also theorized that this could be the author telling us about, you know, the process of how humans pass and build information about life. Because, you know, there wasn't just Charles Darwin who solely discovered evolution, kind of thing. Like, you know, there were people before him, over and over, who found little facts that all combined together into this, you know, major body of knowledge. And I think that with the protagonist doing that and then passing it on to us as the reader, this is also explaining our human nature of knowledge translation in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's another theory as well.
And the way that she acquired knowledge, for the most part, was so, like, internal in a way. Like, there's kind of all these thoughts were springing up in her own head. And the way, it's very, like, difficult to describe, but she was basically a human who had no contact with, like, any media, any, like, the only information she really knew was from these other women. And it's almost like what you would imagine a human to be like in some sort of social experiment, where they're mm-hmm. like, you know, there's no access to society. So that's kind of, without society, who really are you, and what kind of human can you become? Like, is it your most stripped down form of being human, or like the essence of being human in that case? Or are you not human enough because you haven't had that experience of being in a...
Yeah, what makes
in
you
a
human?
Full community, yeah, where
like human and in vitro, like we're in the lab here, and does that make a human, or does our experiences of life make us human?
I mean,
does
I
she
do
become human?
Yeah,
was she human? We don't know, because there were some questions that even there's vicious arguments and debates on Reddit being like, you know, I'm not sure about this point, but there must be people who asked. But the fact that she didn't have a menstrual sort of cycle, for example. So does that make her a reproducing, you know, female in a way? And there's things like that where I feel like it's hard to ever know the answer for. And I guess that's what the author's trying to do.
Yeah. There are definitely questions, like, why does she never get her period and stuff? Like, there, but you never really know. So there's, like, people fighting on the internet about this, right? But, like, no one ever really gets
so uncomfortable.
It is an uncomfortable experience, but it's also kind of amazing, because you know you're not going to get it, but you still try. You still try so hard. And, like, I felt when I was reading the book, like, I pretty much was the main character. Like, almost every feeling that was conveyed, like, I also felt that. Like, whenever she was excited about, you know, taking on, she was building a bunch of houses for mm-hmm. the other woman in the group, and she was so invested and motivated by it. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, you know, it just was so visceral, the way she described every single feeling. And maybe that was the point, is that, like, I felt it so strongly too, because they are just representations of human beings, like, needs and core, like, desires and wants in their life, just, like, no matter what their circumstances are.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was very relatable, honestly, mm-hmm. because especially with the author just being a psychoanalyst as well her whole life, she would definitely know a lot about what I feel like makes us human, or are all same needs and wants. But yeah, the building houses things, I was like, yeah, build those houses.
Yes.
Like,
you got to, you have a purpose right now.
And
yes,
the curiosity part, like, I think we all start life very curious, especially when we're younger.
For
and
sure.
And maybe we're not, both of us aren't older yet, but I wonder, and that's probably what happens when you get older, all the older women in the book, they all wanted to stay in the cage because they didn't really want to ever think of a way to escape anymore, because it just seemed like they were tired and they just wanted to accept that state of living.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that also represents, you know, a very relatable aspect of society where it's like, oh, just accept what's happening and stop being curious. And I think the author really, really sets that in the book with that point.
Yeah, because we can adapt so easily to pretty horrible conditions and then be afraid of changing them. And that mm-hmm. is also why a lot of people accept the status quo, for example. Even if it's pretty crappy, then, well, what's the alternative? Like, what if that's worse?
Yeah. I think that's why a lot of young people as well are more activists than older people, because it's like they've just given up. I mean, not that perhaps, not everyone, perhaps, but yeah. could be a hypothesis.
Like they've lived too long.
They haven't.
Maybe they've even tried to make those changes themselves and have never seen anything, you know.
Because it did say in the book that the older woman did try for years, you know, to get out and find things, to a way to escape, and they just accepted mm-hmm. over time.
So it's like a super psycho analyst book, but it's also pretty philosophical at the same time. And those things are like often tied together, but the same questions of like, why am I here? Or who put me here? Like, why am I in this bunker? Who put me in this bunker? Like, what am I doing here? Are pretty reflective of the questions that most human beings who are living free have, is like, why am I here as well? And despite like the differences in my life and the narrator's life, are like, those are big, big differences, but both of us are still going to die, right? And both of us are going to be pondering these same questions that we'll never actually get the answer for. And we're just going to try to do what we can while we're alive to find those answers, because she is trying to find answers for these questions the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm also trying to find answers for like what the meaning of my life should be, but no one's ever going to tell you, right? Like, you're never going to be able to find out for sure what the meaning is.
Maybe so. The cage is supposed to be human life, and then the afterlife is supposed to be above ground, which you also never figure out the answer for.
Yeah, maybe the afterlife just is like, what's the point They're of like, the afterlife?
Let's just go here? Back down and get some meat from the cage, you know, kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. What is the meaning of life? I think that's the major point of the book, that, you know, it's all relating to the author trying to explain to us that there is no set meaning of life, and there's no point in trying to solve, you know, this very black and white idea that we can solve things for our life's purpose. And that I think life is just unsatisfying in general. I think that also kind of Buddhism underties that, you know, life is suffering constantly. And once you realize that and can make changes to after realizing, it can be less unsatisfying, less suffering, because you just accept. But, you know, that, I don't know, it's still up for interpretation. So
yeah, it's so tough because it's like, wow, how futile was her life? How pointless was her life? Like, when you look back on, you know, the entire plot and how she got to the end, it's like, mm-hmm. wow, what was the point of that? But then also throughout the book, it's like, wow, how exciting was her life at the same time? And like,
yeah,
how difficult, and there is, it is full of suffering, but it is also, I think the author does a good job of not making it fully feel as if it's only suffering. Like, there's lots of moments of like love and care and, yeah, like I said, excitement throughout the book too.
Mm-hmm. Because you can, in the book, like the woman made, they found relationships in each other, or sometimes the bunker, they'd find, you know, something slightly different in the food supplies, or there's always some little hint that keeps you going. So that hope that keeps us all going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the universality of the human experience, I guess, at the end of the day. Like, there is a quote in the book that I thought was pretty good, and I'll read it out loud. right now.
Please do.
It is, quote, "After all, if I was a human being, my story was as important of that of King Lear or of Prince Hamlet that William Shakespeare had taken the trouble to relate in detail," end quote. So she did end up relating her entire life story in detail as well to us, that which we figured out by the end of the book. And yeah, there is not really anything that makes one of us more important than the other. Like, every person has such a complex inner world and diversity of experiences that is completely unique to them, but at the same time is not at all. Which I just, yeah, I just thought that was a really interesting and good quote.
We're all the same, but all different.
Yeah. Basically.
All these uncomfortable statements that we just don't want to hear. I mean, we were just talking about this before the show, but that we just want answers and we want black and white, you know, morals, and we want to do things that we just want to say, this is right, this is wrong, you know, support this, don't support this. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, when everything is just a gray blur. And it's so hard because it's also in the way I feel like, you know, like being someone who's, what's it, centrist? Being someone who's center wing? Not sure what the label is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just being saying everything is okay kind of thing. But we don't like that. We say you have to choose one kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
pick a lane, pick a side.
Yeah, it's just a universal struggle, mm-hmm, that we just deal with.
Yeah, so this book brings up a lot of big questions, and it really makes you think, and I think that's also why I liked it, because I've never seen a book from this type of perspective before, and yet it's kind of like the essence of all of the different perspectives I've read at the same time, and like it shows why we're motivated to do pretty much anything.
I think it would be interesting also to read this in about 40, 50 years. Because comparing what we think now versus a way far in the future would be... I wonder how our opinions would change, or if we would have more answers or less answers.
Mm-hmm. We have to do like a 40-year reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Slumber party episode.
Oh, yeah.
Somber party. Somber. No. It's still going to be, at least it's still going to be a party. But I think we will play maybe one song to break up this conversation, and we'll come back with a few final thoughts. I mean, I do recommend this book, so if you're intrigued by any of this, definitely would tell you to go seek it out.
We've missed out a lot of the little details in the book that make you just go, what, you know, kind of thing, and how is this scientifically possible thing, which I will leave you to read.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil everything. Come on now.
No.
So this next song is called End Dive by Sync, and we will be back right after this.
Hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
Denial, disloyalty.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And the song you just heard was by Endive, and it's called Sync. And we are just going to wrap up the rest of our discussion about the book I, Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Hartman. I think we left off with basically discussing how many questions we had left.
There's too many.
And how there is this urge to want to figure out the whole time why, what, how, where, when. And it looks like DJ Coco might have a theory.
There's too many points.
A few theories?
There's so many points about the book that just make you think, how is this possible? So, you know, for these bunkers, you know, they're walking around, they're looking for these, looking for any sign of life, human civilization. But there were some points where I was trying to make theories about because of these women who just slowly started dying once they started walking on the surface.
But I think they were dying of old age. Do you think it was something else?
At old age, because the protagonist died too, and she was like 20?
The protagonist young, died though. When she was like 60.
And most of them weren't old. Because the protagonist was in the luxury bunker too. She also stayed the rest of her life.
Yeah, and she died when she was older, but she did die of something that is not necessarily because of old age.
She died of, it was cancer, but it was with her reproductive system, which is also confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was things like, you know, the guards, she found a bus that was just sitting there. And there were dead guards, all with gas masks, even on the bus, who were all just dead. Like, what?
How did they die?
Why? They're wearing gas masks? What did that do?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't do anything. What did they even die of? They all just randomly died? And then there's things like the plants. There's no wind for flowers to germinate in the book. And I don't think that there was any sign of really life. Like, there's no raccoons running around or foxes or etc. And, you know, the fact that the humans were underground the whole time in the first place, you know, has something, I think there's something got to do with the air. That's my theory, which is, I think, the obvious part. And the fact that the older woman, they all died first, because I think that, you know, old age and the strenuous walking and, you know, the air pollution, something with that. That's just my theory. And this is even if it's on Earth, because this situation of this whole book could also be just on another planet or some contained system. We don't know.
Yeah, we have no idea if they're being observed still or if this was part of the experiment or not. Like, there's no clear distinction between anything.
But then why would there be a luxury bunker if it was a contained system? You know, like, why would there be that kept there?
Yeah, I feel like the bunkers do kind of lead to the thought train there must be something to do with the air. But then, like you said, none of them died of like similar symptoms or causes, so then that kind of puts a wrench in the theory too.
If it was the air, you'd think it'd be just from you know, their lungs, they'd start hacking all of them or something. There would be like that. But then some of them were dying just from injuries, or some of them were dying from you know, there was another woman who died from reproductive something about their reproductive organs and cancer. So then I was like, oh, maybe carcinogens in the air kind of thing. But then it was like, you know, that's usually caused by, I think, you know, pollution, greenhouse gases kind of thing. But then above ground was normal temperature. I was like, why is everyone... Shouldn't it be boiling hot on the surface if, you know, we had such bad climate change? And then,
like, yeah, if it was so bad, people had to escape.
Yeah, but if it's normal temperature, then did this happen a long time ago? And then all the humans just collectively got up and left. And they were like, oh, let's keep these people, you know, here to just study them.
Yeah, and there's barely any seasons, too.
Yeah, where the sea... I mean, I don't know how long she was... walking up there.
Like years and years and
okay,
years.
Okay, yeah, there were no seasons.
Like decades, I think. But were you formulating these theories throughout the book, or was it mostly after you finished the book?
It was both. Mm-hmm. I was furiously writing on my notes app, and then by the time that the end of the book happened, I was like, well, that's it. I was just furiously writing, and then, I don't know, I got deep into a rabbit hole studying wavelength and different lengths of them because of the sky color. Dang. As well. It was just, there was no point in me to dive that deep because obviously I think the author wanted to stress more about the philosophical part of this, mm-hmm. and not actually the technicalities of this, you know, this barren land. But it could be. I mean, DJSR did say that, you did say that the author studied and was interested in science and physics, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe there is this whole complex background, but the author is dead now. We will never know.
Oh, the fact that she's dead, too.
There are no interviews to be had. It's over. But I feel like that's also kind of what makes the book kind of beautiful, is that at the end...
She's dead.
Not that the author's dead. Please. That adds a layer, but still. That's not what I'm talking about, please. Is that like when... the protagonist finally dies, like, all that you can really do is accept it, because you have read through the entire book, you've tried making theories like
this,
but, you know, you don't know more than the narrator knows, and the narrator never figured it out either. So it's just this overwhelming feeling of like, wow, I just like have to accept this. There's no more hope, there's no more denial. It's just kind of like, well, that's the book, I guess. And maybe that is kind of maybe what death feels like as well. And like that quote that my friend said, is that hope is the last thing that dies. Well, yeah, right after the narrator died, so did my hope. But I don't think it still would have been alive the whole time that she was alive, too. So
this might even mean another episode.
Yeah.
To just talk about this, but
we gotta go, though.
We've gotta go. So thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back next week as well. So next up, we have an open mic. I think Lynn's doing it, and then we have Pick Hoover with our music coordinator Connor. So we will see you next week.
See you. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.